is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Originally, we were going to talk to Dr. Rachel Poquin, incoming president at Umpqua Community College. We're going to put that off until she's actually in Roseburg in July. But County Commissioner Tim Freeman joining us on a busy news day with a lot going on. Tim, thanks for being on with us.
Well, thank you for having me. And sorry that I'm the consolation prize to the new college president. I think she'll be fantastic. So happy to try to help today.
Well, let's talk about the letter. A large group of commissioners sending a letter to Governor Kate Brown asking her to reconsider placing 15 counties in extreme status. And I'm curious, since Douglas County is going the other way and moving to moderate risk tomorrow, what led your county board to sign on to this?
Well, it's really all about timing. So, you know, a few weeks ago when we were in extreme, many of these other counties were in either moderate or high levels where their restaurants and bars could be open for, you know, in-person dining, and the gyms could be open in their counties. And we had started trying to develop this coalition of counties to say, hey, we got to change this dynamic of picking on just a few businesses to create an effect that really isn't happening. So at that time, of course, their counties weren't really impacted. So we didn't get a lot of interest from a lot of the counties. Well, now that so many counties are impacted, even though we're currently starting tomorrow, we're going to go into the moderate risk. Our numbers, of course, are going to rise back up. This is very, very much cycles. And we know there's going to be a time when, you know, us being part of this coalition will be important for Douglas County citizens and businesses. So throughout this entire, last year of this pandemic, getting the county commissioners from across the state, from different, urban and rural areas, from the west side of the Cascades and the east side, from different political parties, to agree on the best course of action has been very difficult. As everybody knows, the pandemic has been very fluid, and a lot of things have changed, and it changes in different areas at different times. So getting everybody together to agree on something has not been easy. This letter that we signed on to, in my opinion, doesn't go quite far enough. I would have liked it to have been a little stronger, but again, Douglas County is just one of 36 counties. The total population of Douglas County is less than 3% of the population of the state. So by ourselves, we can have relatively small amount of influence on the statewide decisions. But with this big coalition, we will have some influence. And we've already heard back from the governor's staff that this letter sort of surprised her. She didn't realize the where all the counties were together on this issue. And I think these coalition type letters and positions are much more effective than some of the one-off stuff that you've seen from some counties and cities around the state where they do sort of a political statement or kind of throw a fit, but it really doesn't have any effect. So we're trying to be part of coalitions and move the dial, back to something a little more reasonable, but work with other counties to do it.
So how did this all get put together with this large group of county commissioners and also with the president of the Restaurant Association?
Well, it really did start, like I say, some weeks ago. I know Commissioner Boyce and Commissioner Kress both are relatively involved, fairly involved with AOC, Association of Oregon Counties. Their executive director, of course, reaches out to us. I've had some input. And when we were in extreme, when it didn't feel like, there was really a need to be in extreme, our hospitalizations were relatively low, there was plenty of capacity. We worked real hard with the Association of Oregon Counties and looked for those groups to align ourselves with. Early on in the pandemic, back at the beginning of December, the State Chamber of Commerce issued a statement and many counties joined on to that, but not near to the degree that joined on to this one. So really this process started quite a few weeks ago, and having a statewide business organization like the Restaurant Association, working with county commissioners that represent, much of the state, although we have several of our neighboring counties that did not sign on. So this is not a unanimous county commission letter. It's by far the majority. But counties like Curry County and Josephine County, close to us, neighboring counties, they did not sign on to this. So it's hard, like I say, it's hard to get 36 counties. Some of them have three commissioners, some have five. That's a lot of people all to agree to a letter. And again, I would have probably been a little bit more direct with the letter, but the concept is to build a coalition and try to have the state agencies and the governor understand our position and listen to us. And I believe this letter is going to create that sort of a response.
With 15 counties going back to extreme, including all but Washington County and the Portland area, I mean, that's a large number of counties. That's a huge percentage of the state's population. That's got to have a big impact on the state's overall business community because of the high level of population in those 15 counties.
Well, and I'm certainly thinking that's the way the governor's looking at it, but I will tell you, every single one of the businesses in Douglas County is every bit as important as any of those businesses in the big counties. And that's the frustration we feel, you know, when we're in extreme and those big counties won't help us with this. And we think it's important, even though we're, like I say, we're going to moderate tomorrow. There'll be a time when our numbers are going to creep back up, and we want to support them in their time of need, hoping they'll support us in our time of need. So, yeah, it's going to be, I mean, those are huge numbers. But again, even though there's more people that work at those businesses, there's more businesses in the big counties, those businesses are not any more important, and those jobs aren't any more important than the businesses we have here in Douglas County.
As you talk to commissioners around the state, do you get the sense or the overall feeling that a lot of folks that are commissioners, county officials, feel like they've been shut out of the process with the governor?
Yeah, so I didn't have a lot of time to prepare for today's radio show, but I did pull out some of the stuff that we sent to the state through this last year. So all the way back on August 24th, 2020, so not quite a year ago, but a long time ago, we sent a letter with a bunch of stuff. I'm not going to read it. But one thing that I said is it's imperative the state treat us like a partner in this fight and not the enemy. So from very early on, as the local public health authorities and as the local governments, we have felt like the state doesn't really take our input or have a good way for us to communicate with them. And I understand that Douglas County is 3% of the population and there's lots more voices, but they still should listen to us. The people that live here in Douglas County have a right to have our voice heard as well as everybody else. So all along, we have felt like this has been a top-down response to this pandemic, and we are looking forward and pleading with the governor to allow us to be part of this decision-making, share risk. I mean, you know, she's got herself in a box, and that, you know, if now if she loosens restrictions and more people get sick and die, they could blame her. But we want local governments, local county commissions to be part of that decision-making and understand that, you know, each county is a little bit different. The proximity to how close people live or how the cases are happening. You know, we do all the epidemiology. We know where the cases are happening here in Douglas County and you know, the best ways to try to avoid those cases, the best recommendations to give. We don't need that to come from the state. We can do that here at the local level. And we still believe the best way to handle this here in Douglas County is to give people the best information, the most current, the most accurate from a local source, and give them recommendations from local people that live right here, live and work with the citizens of Douglas County. And we keep pleading with the governor to allow us to do that.
What have you seen locally regarding the impacts of the governor's restrictions for COVID-19 on the Douglas County business community?
So that's an interesting question because our business community, like every business community, is so wildly diverse. For some businesses, this has been just absolutely devastating. There's not really been a pathway through for success. You know, and even within a sector, like let's say restaurant sectors, you know, businesses that have a good drive-through clientele and have the ability to focus on that portion of their business, I think they've done much better than businesses that don't have that. Businesses that have restaurants that have good menus for takeout services, you know, they've been able to do okay with some of the takeout services, DoorDash and those type of things. But businesses whose food is really more about atmosphere and high quality food, they don't do as good in a takeout model. So I think there's businesses that have done fine, some maybe even better, and then there's some businesses that have been just completely devastated. And one of the things early on that was said a lot by the state, and it's incredibly frustrating to me, when they say we're all in this together. The fact is that could not be further from the truth as it impacts businesses, because some businesses were forced to shut down. Others were not impacted at all. Some businesses have a business model that have been successful, more successful because of the shutdowns. Some have just been devastated. So everybody's not impacted the same in this pandemic. And, you know, we have recognized that early on, and we'd love to have more flexibility to try to, you know, maneuver this and again, give people good information, ask them to do the right thing, but do that at a local level.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. County Commissioner Tim Freeman with us. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. Back in 1 minute on Inside Douglas County and News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1. It's Your Cue with Shannon Sebastian, part of KQEN Local Talk today at 4. Dr. Tim Powell of Evergreen Medical, the guest this afternoon. County Commissioner Tim Freeman on with us right now. We're talking about a letter sent by a large group of county commissioners to the governor asking her to reconsider the extreme risk that many counties are going into tomorrow and some of the implications on that. And Tim, I'm curious, do you feel like when you look at the restrictions that the governor has placed along the way, do you feel at all that those have helped keep the number of COVID-19 cases at a lower number than they would have been without the restrictions?
Yes, that's an interesting question. And the answer is yes, but something I learned way back when I was in college for computers a long, long time ago, is that, you know, and of course, virus was a conversation back then, but in the context of computer programming, you know, the best way to keep a computer from getting a virus is to never turn it on. And so it's the same thing with the public. If we didn't live our lives, if we all stayed in our house and did nothing, you know, you likely could avoid any sort of viruses. But the fact is, that's not living your life. So really, it's a matter of risk tolerance and making good decisions for yourself and not expecting government or government forcing themselves to do that for you. And Dr. Danhofer often talks about risk levels and sort of a sliding scale of risk levels. And one of the examples he uses is he doesn't ride motorcycles because that's risky. Well, I happen to ride motorcycles, and that's a risk I'm willing to take. I think for each person, they need to make these decisions for themselves with good information. So yes, more restrictions lower the number of cases, and therefore less people are sick and less people die. But bottom line is, how far are you going to take that? What extreme? And at what point do we all as individuals assume that risk decision-making, decide where we want to be on the risk scale, do what's right for ourselves and our families, and not have the government try to control that? And I lean towards allowing the people to do that. And so again, that's a great question, and that's the box that the governor's got herself in. You know, again, if she removes all restrictions and a lot of people get sick and a lot of people die, she's going to get blamed for it. And I think that really, like everything else we do in our lives, we need to be making those as individuals, with individual businesses, those decisions based on good information and good recommendations. And certainly, I think a lot of these recommendations should be followed. You know, I'm the one that's been approving these daily updates that have all the recommendations in it. I believe in the recommendations, but I believe in the individual's ability to make those decisions and not have government tell them what to do.
With this fourth surge that all the health officials are talking about, we see nearly 1,000 cases in Oregon in the new report that came out today. Douglas County's numbers, we're not even back to moderate. That starts tomorrow. 17 cases in the county today. And it's been kind of an up and down situation. For county government, what has been the role in terms of reaching out and trying to help the business community with the restrictions that you do have?
Well, certainly we've had, you know, many roles throughout this. Early on, it was the personal protection equipment and making sure, you know, we had access to that, and through different chambers and different organizations, we help with that. We have done several grant programs specific to the hospitality industry, where we have given the opportunity to give a grant for people to pay for their environmental health license, or even the second time around, we waived environmental health license fees for those businesses. Each of those grant programs cost about $350,000. And then we did a almost $2 million direct grant program to businesses impacted. So we have so far been in the neighborhood of about $2.5 million worth of grants coming through the county to help small businesses impacted by this. The new Recovery Act, of course, it has direct support for the restaurant industry. We're helping with our contractor, CCD, to figure that out and make sure that restaurants that are impacted can apply for and get the direct funding. And we are, of course, seeing more money come in the next month or so from the federal government that we're going to look at and see if there's additional things we can put in place. One of the different additional grant programs we can put in place to help businesses that are impacted. One of the roles that we have, the most important roles as a local public health authority, is to try to find ways to keep people safe from the virus and keep them healthy by giving them these recommendations and keep those case count numbers down. So under the state risk metrics and all the different phases and things we've had over the last year, now Douglas County's pretty consistently been one of the lowest counties in the state. But for about a month, we've been one of the lowest counties in the state and one of the lowest counties in the nation in the number of cases. So the businesses have been some of the least impacted in the state because of that. So, we focus on the public health portion because that's really nobody else in Douglas County is doing public health, right? The county contracts with all these vendors to do this work, but we're ultimately the public health authority. The Oregon Health Authority is not down here running vaccine clinics, they're not down here doing testing, they're not down here doing health care. Our partners in this, you know, Aviva and Evergreen and the hospital and DPHN and the CCO and the hospital, all those medical partners working with Douglas County are providing the actual management, case management, and trying to keep the case count down. I think that's our focus. It has been our focus at the county. However, we have specifically looked for those ways to help businesses that have been impacted and will continue to do so.
We've been dealing with this for 13 to 14 months right now. Do you see any light at the end of this COVID tunnel?
I do. And I see the light really in the vaccinations. So when we started in phase 1A of vaccines, which was healthcare, first responders, and teachers. So after there would have been time for a group of people to be fully vaccinated in that 1A group, we saw that pretty much sort of on average about 50% of the people that were eligible got vaccinated and 50% didn't. So we started tracking the cases that came out of that group, the new cases, to see if it made a difference, right? You had just this perfect study that you could look at because you had a control group and a vaccinated group, and then you could look to see who was getting COVID. I mean, you could see from the test results, and overwhelmingly, over 90% of the cases in that group, since they could have been vaccinated, are people that chose not to. So we do see the light at the end of the tunnel. We see that light in vaccinations, and I understand there's a ton of vaccine hesitancy, and I appreciate that, and I will never, ever challenge somebody that decides they don't want to get a vaccine if that's their decision to make. And we're never going to require it. That being said, a lot of the concerns that people had early on are starting to go away. Been over 100 million people in the United States vaccinated with very few problems. Worldwide, there's been hundreds of millions of people. We are seeing the effectiveness of the vaccine. I just explained one example, but we're seeing that at businesses and other places now where people that are vaccinated aren't getting sick. That is the solution. You know, early on, it was hard to figure out whether you were eligible or not. Now it's easy. Everybody 16 and older is eligible. There's a variety of vaccines available. So if there's a particular kind you want versus another kind, they're all available. You're not taking a vaccine from somebody else. We have lots of vaccines. So I see that as the light at the end of the tunnel. and I see continuing for people that may have been adamant about not getting it, starting to understand that it's okay and it might be something they want to have. So, again, here at the county, we're not going to require it of our employees. We're never going to advocate for it to be a requirement for anybody. However, we want to make it available. We're trying to make it easy. You know, we have several of our partners, Aviva's doing these outlying clinics. We're doing the Tiger Team stuff with DPHN. Tiger Team's gonna be out next week. They're covering the entire county. Next week, they're going to be in the Rice Hill area on May 4th, in the Curtin area, both on May 4th. On the 5th, they're going to go over to Scottsburg and Elkton. On the 18th of May, they're going to be in Azalea and Glendale again for a second round. So they're really getting out and covering the county. We're trying to make it to where nobody has to. Anybody that wants a vaccine can get one within 5 miles of where they live. And our goal is to have 95% of the people be able to access a vaccine within 5 miles where they live. And, of course, these are all free. So you can just show up and get your vaccine. But lots of effort going into that. That's right now, that's the only light I see at the end of the tunnel. But like through this entire pandemic, there continues to be things that evolve and things happen. So, you know, maybe something will change tomorrow. We're just giving out the best information we have today.
The Aviva Clinic in Drain resuming at 1 o'clock, going to 4 this afternoon. And later this afternoon, we'll be posting the next week's schedule for the Tiger Team vaccination locations. Also, as well, Cow Creek will have an opportunity tomorrow. We'll get that posted as well. So there are a lot of those opportunities out there for folks to get vaccinated. And we're trying to get all that information out on all our platforms here on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Douglas County Commissioner Tim Freeman has been on with us. Looks like we're out of time today, but Tim, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity. Have a great day.
1258 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.